The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Ayler, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. It is Tuesday. It is the 21st day of September 2021. We welcome you back here, hour number three on the Michigan Sports Network, broadcasting live all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well, from Traverse City down to the Glass City, GR to the Motor City. Good morning to all of you. Thank you. We appreciate you for allowing us to be a part of your morning. And, man, coming off that Monday Night Football, it's all Monday Night Football. It's basically been our entire program so far today. Text the keyword sports radio to share your thoughts. Sports radio to 21,000. Sports radio to 21,000. Meijer Supercenter guest line 248-951-2176. 248-951-2176. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to our television audience as well. Comcast Channel 900 and BCSN on Buckeye Broadband. Danny Kalen at Dan in the studio. Ryan Elke at Ryan L underscore key. Anthony Bellino at AC Bellino. And gentlemen, I guess what was your biggest takeaway from last night's football game? Where this team is at, the direction that they're heading, you know, how do you feel afterwards? Because I feel like we're right on course for where we are, who they thought they were.
Yeah, I agree with that. The you said the number one thing I noticed is that the team does not adjust well, because they were winning at halftime and then they didn't score after the half, and the other team scored all the points. So it seemed like their offense went stale in the second half, and then their defense kept doing the same thing and just kept getting beat underneath for 8 yards 40 times in a row and didn't run. I don't know. Did they blitz one time? Honestly, I have no idea. If you're going
to... Man, that's a really good question.
If you're going to run that too deep all the time, I wish Peyton and Eli would have talked about it. You gotta send in that slot corner and drop down the safety as soon as the ball snapped, because you can't just let Aaron Rodgers throw it 6 or 7 yards every time.
And you gotta pray that the timing is good and that safety's coming downhill with some real bad intentions. And if that ball comes out quick, that safety's gotta be willing to just lay somebody out. Lay them out, man, hit them. Oh man, sometimes that's a really good question. I would love to see that. I'm sure Pro Football Focus will have that number out at some point today when they go back through and grade all of the players. I thought that the offensive line for the most part really held up. I think that when you really think about the fact that they lost Taylor Decker, their starting Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, you think about that kind of loss to the offensive line and what that meant, and then moving Penei Sewell over to the left side. I think the offensive line's done a really good job, and I think that they're living up to the hype, which is weird that we're hyping up an offensive line, but you got to be strong in the trenches. And we've talked about their dedication and commitment to being strong in the line of scrimmage. The defensive line being able to get some pressure with four, getting three sacks, one of which you can absolutely credit to the secondary for doing a hell of a job back there, but that, you know, one play. But, I mean, to be able to get to Aaron Rodgers three times with four guys is really very impressive. Very impressive. And that's been a commitment to that defensive line. The offensive line doing a good job of protecting Jared Goff. I mean, think about the time that he had there. My goodness, in the first half, he was making, according to, what was it? Jeff Risden said he was making origami swans in the pocket. Like, he had all kinds of time. And a lot of his passes, like one of which to Quintez Cephas, kind of a busted play. You got to go out there playground style, like, no, just keep running. I'll throw it. You know, little things like that. Like, the offensive line, I thought, looked really good.
Right, and this was a game that actually gave me a lot more hope than last week for this
regime. Ooh, positive, Ryan.
Positive, because, hey, like, linebackers, we can all joke about the linebackers and the fact that. But the lines were competitive for the first 2.5 quarters, 3 quarters, you could even say. Down a score going into the fourth. They didn't have to try to play catch up, because after half a quarter, they're down 20 points. They were leading at halftime. Like, this is what we wanted out of them, right? Come in, show what they can do for 3 quarters, and then lose the game for a draft pick. Like, if this was the Pistons' plan.
Is this our Pistons game right here?
If this is the Pistons' plan that we all wanted, it worked out well last night. Like, well, you showed the offensive line showed up, said, hey, we can protect the quarterback. And it also helps when Za'Darius Smith is not playing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we can protect the quarterback, but we still can't run the ball.
Right. But again, Goff showed glimpses of, like, this is why I'm a, this is the capable quarterback I can be. Like, he showed his two sides. He was very, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde last night. But that's what you're going to get out of him. Right. But that's what Jared Goff is. And that's fine. It's like, we know there's no talent in the wide receiver room at the moment. We know this team is depleted at corner at the moment. But we saw good things, and we also some first-year moves out of Dan Campbell of not taking the timeout at the end of the half when that clock goes from 1 minute to 35 seconds.
Which the question is were they playing to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field?
You can't. But even as, you know, the Mannings were saying, like, you take that timeout there because then you can – you're not your rushing options at the end with 15 seconds. They left a timeout on the board at the end of the first half because they took too long after it was the second or third play. But yeah, that's Dan Campbell learning, first-time head coach, first-time handling all this.
And I think that people need to realize, too, that there's a lot – so we're sitting at home, right? We're in our lazy boys or whatever we're doing. You know, I don't know, wherever you watch the game. I watch the game in the same chair. Same chair I've had for God knows how many years, right? I used to work at Lazy Boy. So I got this really big, awesome leather recliner for $105 because somebody sent it back because they didn't like the it had a wrinkle on the armrest. That's the stuff we have to, you know, deal with on a regular basis. But anyways, long story short, I sit in the same chair for every game. And I have my TV on, have my drink. You know, if I had a little popcorn last night during the game, right? And I was enjoying myself. When you're actually there on the sidelines and everything is working in real time, like, people are always like, oh, the clock management. Like, you got a lot of stuff. I'm not trying to defend the no call of the time out there. But just remember that there's a lot more happening when you're there at the game on the sideline than what you than what you think. And I just... maybe a general rule of thumb is, like, if there's any debate or question whatsoever, fire the timeout. Just use it. Just burn it the hell with it. You know, whether they're discussing a play, if you're discussing a scheme or a strategy, whatever might be going on that headset at that very moment, if there is any sort of confusion, disagreement, multiple ideas coming at the same time, burn the timeout and talk about it then. And at least you're like, hey, no, this is something we called the timeout in this position because we had – you know, a couple options that we were going through. We wanted a little bit more time to discuss. And then when we came back out and broke the huddle, we had, you know, a couple of plays called, ready to go, if complete, if incomplete, what we were going to do next. And if it is complete, you know, got to show some urgency getting up to the line of scrimmage. DeAndre Swift carrying the football. Really nice burst there on the first play. Get to the line of scrimmage. Really nice burst on the second play. Got to get to the line of scrimmage. You know, they ran four plays and killed like a minute worth of clock, and it's like, maybe even over that. And you just, you know, it's one of those kind of a head scratcher things where, you know, you're sitting at home in your chair going, timeout! You're yelling at the TV and no one can hear you. And it's like, oh, well, maybe I would have called a timeout in that position. But Ryan, I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of positive to take away from this football game, you know, all things considered. And yeah, a little bit of weather playing a role there. And, you know, you have that rain that came down and it made the ball wet. And, you know, you have a botched quarterback center exchange there. The snap was good. Just Jared Goff wasn't able to handle it. They lose the fumble. He fumbled another time, but had recovered it. Peyton going into his conversation last night about how he and Jeff Saturday used to work with the wet ball drill and exchanging snaps and doing it multiple times a week, even if they were playing in a dome. I just think that there's a certain dedication to that craft, man. And it's unfortunate. I'm not saying that Jared Goff isn't practicing it or he's not dedicated. I'm just saying, like, hey, things happen. It's a turnover. We'll step aside. We'll be back. More Monday Night Football. Your reaction next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Kick off the new pro football season with the king of sportsbooks. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter my bonus code, SHEPBET, and your first wager is totally risk-free up to $1,000. Join the action for all the Gridiron Showdowns from Thursday through Monday night each week. And when you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials on some of the biggest games in pro football. From hard-hitting tackles to epic touchdowns, the King of Sportsbooks takes every play to a whole new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter my bonus code, SHEPBET, and you'll get back up to $1,000 on your very first wager. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
My name's Karen Bellinger. I'm a paramedic in St. Clair County, Michigan. We have a pretty big feeling that even though the numbers are down right now, we're going to see a pretty big surge by the end of summer, beginning of fall. School's going to be back, and a lot of people haven't been vaccinated yet. We've had a lot of COVID patients in the back of our trucks. We've transported from one hospital to another hospital. We've seen patients on vents that haven't come off of vents, and we've seen patients that just have mild COVID symptoms as well. We're seeing them at their worst, and if they're calling for an ambulance because of COVID, you know, we're obviously going to be there. We're going to take care of them. It's going to be a little bit delayed because we have to get fully gowned up in PPE, but we will be there. But we don't want to have to see people in our truck because of something that's preventable. So it's your decision to get vaccinated, and I think that you should do it if you're able to. It's safe, and it's time.
Learn more at MyVaxDecision.com. Sponsored by Small Business Association of Michigan.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Dana Kayla, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. Appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. By the way, Tigers a winner last night against the White Sox, so congratulations to the Detroit Tigers and A.J. Hinch. They continue to just overperform. I mean, they just that's all they do. That's all they do. They're just outperforming. They're playing competitive ball, and if you saw it via Locked On Tigers, by the way, there is an incredible statistic out there right now. The Tigers are over 500 on the season against teams in first, teams in the current playoff picture, and teams over 500. So very, very promising baseball being played by the Detroit Tigers. But we're coming up on Monday Night Football, so that has been the 99.8% of the program today, and that's just that is the way. That it's going to be after a game on Monday night, the one of two primetime games. I'm going to consider the Thanksgiving Day game in primetime for the Detroit Lions. I'm going to consider that a primetime game. It's nationally televised. Everybody gets to watch it. The nation, hey, well, you got to show the Lions. All white jerseys last night. Some slander from my buddy Gian, who believes that the LA Chargers don't have the most beautiful jersey in all of sports, which I think is just preposterous. It's so clean. Could the Lions, let's go with the alternate helmets. Love the white, love the lighter blue. Would kind of like to see less silver. I'm okay with like silver trim. That's fine. But the silver pant, just not a huge fan of it. Not a huge fan. Not at all. But way better all white than all gray. All gray was just atrocious. Yeah, it looked awful. The Packers win 35-17. Jared Goff did some good things last night, had a couple of turnovers. The pick late, you know, I saw one Detroit media member had said, that is an unforgivable interception. That's not the interception that Matthew Stafford threw against the Colts last year at home, where it turned into a pick six because he literally threw it directly to a Colts player. Like, this is the end of the game. The game is basically over. You're trying to make a play. You're under pressure. You just chuck it. It's not inexcusable. It's not indefensible. It's not unforgivable. Like, stop being so overdramatic about everything all the time. It's a football game. This roster is not built to go to the playoffs. So if you're worried about your ex, and you know you're not ready, I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes you just got to let go. Hey, you know what? We're going in a different direction. We're taking our franchise in a different direction. And it is what it is. Get over it.
That, and I don't know if I'm prepared that after every game, there's going to be fans saying, well, Stafford would have won this game. Or Stafford
wouldn't have won that game last night.
But that's the thing. I don't care. He's not here anymore. I don't care if Stafford could have won that game. We're moving on. Please look forward. I don't.
Oh, like, bad news, Ryan. Do you want the bad news now or you want me to wait?
Just tell me.
You want to look forward? Baltimore's coming to town.
That's fine, but I just don't need to hear, like, well, Stafford would have made that throw. Stafford would have thrown this interception. Stafford. Guys, get over it. Yeah. I know it's a fresh breakup. I know that's hard, especially when he's flaunting his new love around on primetime and ESPN and everything. But guess what? We're in two totally different stages.
Yeah, completely different realms, right? Completely. We got a couple of texts coming in. DeAndre Swift is a number two at best. Williams is a number two. So what do we have then? Four? Two and two is four. Derek Barnes, like Ty Johnson, preseason MVP. I mean, the guy didn't play a snap, so how are you supposed to evaluate him? Don't really know. That's fine. How are those butthurt Michigan fans on Twitter today? And who is the state fan they were calling out? That comes from Freddie. I don't. Who's butthurt?
I don't even know this one. And
I don't know. I don't know this one either.
Because I've seen a few things where
I've seen some things.
Michigan and Michigan State fans are arguing about their schedule. Oh, Miami doesn't compare to what. There was a Michigan fan trying to say the Western win was better than Miami because Western has two wins.
Like, that's interesting.
Okay. For Miami to have two wins going into state's game, they needed to be just the best team in college football. But let's not add context to our arguments. So, again, like friend of the show,
they're going to play each other, right?
Like Isaiah Hull said on Twitter, he goes, "If only these two teams had an annual game to decide who is a better team."
It's unbelievable. I did see one. There was a young lady who was tweeting about the last time Michigan had a non-conference ranked road victory. Yeah, not
Power
I think it was
five.
Non-conference.
Power
non-conference.
Five.
Yeah.
Power five road win. Non-conference.
I don't know if they would travel to a group of five, and if that group of five would be ranked. But Power five, non-conference, top 25, road win. Four qualifiers. Wow. I don't know. We never play on the road in the first month. Sorry. I don't know. Like, same thing this year. We have four straight home games. We've been at home since last winter. We'll see what happens.
1903.
Take Rutgers this week, and then hopefully you handle them the way you're supposed to, and then you go to Wisconsin. And then you'll get if they beat Wisconsin, then maybe it's a ranked win against a Power 5 that's on the road, but it doesn't meet the non-fourth qualifier that just happens to be convenient for your argument at the time. Great, cool. That's whatever, sweetheart, whatever you say. I clicked on it. I looked. Come on. You think I'm going to let that bother me? Who's butthurt?
No, you let the one reporter that's not a Michigan fan bother you.
Okay. We can address this. It doesn't matter. I didn't realize that that's what he sounds like to begin with, Rainer Saban. You don't ask – how are you going to ask a question to a coach where you say the words, you know, three, four times? Like, no, we don't know. What is your question? Say whatever your question is. I phrase the question. Do you think, Coach Harbaugh, do you believe that your style of offense has any effect on how recruits maybe view University of Michigan? Does your style of offense being run first right now, does that change how you might approach recruiting in comparison to a team like Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson, teams that you are chasing right now, as everything has moved to
again,
passing?
So there's no problem with the question.
I don't care about the question itself. And Harbaugh called him out. He's like, it sounds like you already have a story written here, just looking for a bite. And that's exactly what it was. Well, you know. Like, dude, no. Like, what is your question? I can give you a question in 10 seconds or less, but you sound like an idiot. Period. Like, there's no, like,
I think
just
it's just
the
problem with who was asking the question.
If Isaiah Hull or Josh Henschke or, why am I missing? Hey, Nick Baumgartner, or why can't I think of it? Andrew Kahn or Aaron McMahon, any of them, asked a question where they asked the coach and said, you know, multiple times, you're going to get called out. I know if I'm asking a question, I sound like an idiot. I know right away. And I'll own that 100%. I've had coaches on, players on, where I'm like, yo, what in the hell did I just say? You sound like an idiot. And I think at the end of the day, it's because, like, at least me personally, when we have coaches on, like Coach Blashill, right? If the guy had 15 wins in a season, I still respect the individual for the position that they hold.
There's still a certain level. Where was the disrespect in the question?
No, I'm not saying there's a disrespect in the question, right? I'm saying that there are times, and I read a particular writer who it's kind of like, yeah, like you, is there like a personal gripe here? Like, do I need to ask you some questions? If you want to have him on the show, if you got his number, dial him up. I'd love to ask him some questions. I got no problem with that.
Why don't you love us? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. That's going to be the question. Oh. Like the Ronnie Bell injury. Like immediately, oh, that Giles Jackson, his impacts immediately felt, the transfers, it felt like, okay, all right, sure, yeah. He looked great for Washington. Good job, good choice. The kid wanted to do what he wants to do, go West Coast, go West Coast. We'll step aside. We're going to try not to argue about Michigan and Michigan State because they
will
play. We're not
even arguing about Michigan and Michigan State. We're just arguing about the way Michigan gets covered.
I need names. When we come back, Ryan's going to put together a list of names of reporters that he thinks are pro-Michigan slappies that are on the payroll. We'll get into that next year on X's and Bros in the Michigan Sports
All
Network.
Of them.
Why drive to the casino when you can enjoy the excitement of Vegas-style games and jackpots right from your phone? Download the Twin Spires Casino app now and you'll unlock 24 hours of risk-free casino play up to $500 plus 250 free spins. Just register using the promo code FREEDAY. Twin Spires Casino. Launch your 24-hour getaway today. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 21 years of age and older and present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute's Purple Community. Now, your community can be a part of raising awareness and money to help Parkinson's and cancer research at Van Andel Institute, which is located on the west side of the state in downtown GR. They are world-renowned when it comes to cancer and Parkinson's research and more. You can go to VAI.org to find out about what they're doing each and every day to try and save lives. And if you want to have your own event, your own purple celebration in your community to raise awareness and money for cancer and Parkinson's research. Get all the details at purplecommunity.vai.org.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
Huge here for all the Mr. Car Wash locations across Michigan. You're going to want to look into that unlimited monthly pass that I use. Superfly Hayes, my producer, uses it. I can get my SUV washed as often as I like. Huge here for all the Mr. Car Wash locations across Michigan. You're going to want to look into that unlimited monthly pass that I use. Superfly Hayes, my producer, uses it.
This could be the greatest beat of all time. It really could be. Like, I mean, damn, picture this. We have like a, I don't know, convertible 1967 big body something, right? Me and you, Ryan right there in the back. Shades on, big collared suits, chest hair poking out. Miami Beach. I mean, what else could you want? Port of Miami? Can you see it? Can you visualize it?
Oh, I can feel it.
Pull it up to a club just to wait for 3 hours out front?
Not with you in Miami? Come on.
Bottle service only?
I know you have VIP access. We know.
I'd be like, hey, you know Joe Zagaga? They're like, yeah, we know him. Like, yeah, sorry. Friend of the show. Like, oh, come on in. You know Joe. Oh. I by the way, I know I said this on Monday, but I listened to part of the Miami-Michigan State game on the radio because we had Miami's play-by-play guy, Joe Zagacki, on. And that, like, dude, he's got such a good sound. Such a good sound. There's something to, like, I don't know how old he is, but he's right in that wheelhouse that you get into a certain age and your voice is just, like, velvet mixed with peanut butter. Also, speaking of velvet peanut butter, Gus Johnson, Aqib Talib. They had the Minnesota-Arizona game on Sunday, and I want to run these highlights so bad, but Fox has the crowd mic turned up so bleeping loud that you can't hear Gus Johnson and Aqib Talib on the call. You can't hear it. It's just crowd noise. It's absolutely, like, why would they do that? It's absolutely ridiculous. Like if that's Gus Johnson back in the NFL is awesome. I love Gus Johnson. I don't know if you love him, but I do. Because he brings a certain scent, like people don't like his enthusiasm, which is crazy to me. Like they want boring, monotonous, bland. It's football. Like give me some passion, give me some emotion. Well, you know, every play calls like the Super Bowl. Fine, call it that way. At least have some fun with it. You know what I mean? Like my goodness, and you couldn't even hear it because the crowd mic is up so loud. It's preposterous.
Maybe the crowd was just that loud.
They weren't. The mic was turned up so loud, it's like piercing your ears. It truly is. It's like it's unbelievable what they did to that. Just completely botched it. Here, you know, it's frustrating. Like here's the call of the missed field goal to win the game here. It's 34-33. Arizona has the lead. Vikings with a chance to knock in the game-winning kick at the end of the fourth quarter, 4 seconds left, down a point, 37-yard attempt.
Good snap, clean hole for the win. Oh, my goodness, he missed it. Unbelievable. And the Cardinals survive. 34-33. You're watching the NFL, folks, on FOX.
Did you hear how loud
that's just Gus, though. If Gus wasn't yelling, you wouldn't notice it as much. But if he was talking that loud, it would be different. But he's yelling like that. That's the thing.
That was a big time. Okay, here, try this one then. Kyler Murray on the scramble. Carrying the Duke with one hand. The Duke is the size of this helmet that I have on my desk right now. Like, the thing is huge. Running around, this little guy, running around with this football in his hand, being chased, running for his life, and just hurling it down the field.
They're on 23. Murray. Reverses. Murray. Looks long. He's got a receiver. Four. With a blocker. Rondale Moore. Rookie touchdown.
Yeah, like, come on. Just turn the crowd mic down a little, just a smidge. It's mixed terribly. It is mixed terribly from a production
standpoint. But it's mixed like that because they don't want it to sound weird when it's second and three in the first quarter and Gus is screaming like they're about to win the championship. So you have to pretend.
So you're a hater.
No, I'm not a hater. They're trying to match him so it doesn't seem weird.
But you can't, Matt. All they have to do is turn. I'm not telling them to give me no crowd mic. Just turn it down a little bit. Like they shouldn't have to be on equal playing fields. Like we're listening to a broadcast. I didn't tune into Fox and be like, hey, I can't wait to listen to crowd noise for 3 hours. Like, no, I want it. Like if I would have tuned into the Manning broadcast and all they would have played was the crowd noise in Lambeau, like that's not what I'm here to hear. I know they're yelling. I can hear them. Just turn them down a little bit. Let Gus be Gus. Hamilton. Like, I love it. I love the passion on second and 15 in the first quarter on the first drive, getting ready to get a delay of game penalty, back it up to second and 20 and get 4 yards on second down and line up a third and Finley. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Just, oh, give me the excitement. And the fact, like, and it's not like he's over-modulated. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do a good job on his mic. It's not like he's just, like, eating the microphone and screaming and hooting and hollering. We hear that stuff all the time. But, I mean, my goodness. I just need more Gus. Aqib Talib's fit, by the way. He's a hip dude. I saw him in person when he was in Detroit. I forget what game it was. He really physically built. I mean, he's every bit 6'2", 6'3". His waist is about the size of my calf, and his shoulders, I mean, he looks like an upside-down triangle, right? I mean, the dude, what are you wearing? He looked like a pimp at a rodeo. what was that pink leather jacket? What was that? It was crazy. I had, like, tassels on it. I'm like, what is going on here? Can't knock it because it's kind of fly, but for the broadcast booth, I don't know. Also, outside of Gus Johnson, the second best thing I heard, which might be the second worst question I heard over the weekend. Did you see how Shane Beamer from South Carolina answered the question about Georgia's defense? Did either of you guys see this? His face has become a meme now on the internet.
Just what were they doing to maybe make things physical on the offensive side and maybe being able to get a push?
Who was doing?
Georgia's a defensive line. What were they doing to maybe make things difficult on the offense?
They've got like 105 star football players on their defense. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds and runs better than everybody on this call. They've got 5-star defensive backs. They're big and physical and fast. I mean, other than that, they're really freaking good. That's why they have the top defense in the country. They're hard to run the football on. So there wasn't some magical scheme they came out with tonight. They got 5-star recruits everywhere, and they play really physical. Damn.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a good answer.
That's a great answer. That's the raw honesty that people are looking for, right? We got Freddie on hold. Let's get to Freddie the Pizza Man. Freddie, good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. It's not a victory Tuesday, though, however. How are you, partner?
Imagine being a teammate of that guy, huh? Imagine hearing that and saying, geez, man, come on, who cares? Why you got to pump them up? They'd be there, you know what, already.
They're better. They're athletically more gifted. They have higher-ranked recruits. They are better football players with better possibilities and potentials to become NFL guys to play on Sundays. That's a harsh reality. We're not all good, Freddie. We're not all going to make it, Freddie. That life ain't fair, Freddie.
You're good, buddy. You're talented. You're going to make it, buddy.
You're just gassing me up. You're trying to butter me up before you throw a sledgehammer at me. I can feel it.
No, I would never throw a sledgehammer at you. I like you, buddy. And now Georgia and Alabama, they have the advantage of getting paid, you know? So we'll see what happens.
They haven't been getting paid for years, Freddie. It's been years they've been getting paid.
Yeah, but now it's in the open. So I'd be curious to see who wins that battle out of Michigan State and Michigan, who pays their players more. That's going to be fun to see. But before I talk about the Lions, that Gus Johnson clip, you sure that wasn't him calling the Michigan game with Joe Platt?
I love that's a great combination, too. Oh, man, do I love Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt.
They stink. Joel Klatt stinks. He's talented, but he stinks.
Wow.
He stinks. You could be both. You could be talented and stink at the same time.
You could be talented and really good. I guess it's personal preference, I suppose.
I'm talented at making pizza, but I stink at everything else. So, I mean, it could be both. But the Lions yesterday, you know what I took out of that game yesterday? It was good. It was finally good to see a draft pick. Penei Sewell, man. We might have an actual all-pro and a key position. You know, I look at the quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, cornerback as your four key positions, or defensive tackle or defensive end, either one you want to pick. That's what you start to rebuild with. And I think Penei Sewell is going to be a good one, man. I'm excited to see. I mean, we all knew what was going to happen this year. I mean, yeah, we're all a little excited like we always do in preseason. We think they're going to win 8-9 games. Even I did. But then you realize they just don't have enough talent around them. But I like to see that Sewell's doing good at the left tackle spot, you mean.
Yeah, he's and think about how young he is. It's just as a human and really performing very, very well. you know, going to the right side in camp. Taylor Decker gets hurt. They move him to the left side, and it's like riding a bike for that guy. And he's been impressive. They pulled with him last night. I thought that was interesting. You know, getting around the center and, you know, just trying to hit anything in sight. I like the fact that he's a high motor guy that enjoys the physicality of offensive line. I think offensive line's all attitude. You know, great offensive linemen have that attitude that they are some of the grimiest people on the planet. They are people like when you are playing offensive line, you have a level of nastiness that most humans will never experience, because that's not an easy position to play whatsoever. You know, you mentioned the defensive line too. Thought they played pretty well, all things considered, being able to get to Aaron Rodgers three times, only bringing four. But you know, the Lions could really use. I know this is a big ask, right? Big ask here. Can I get a Javon Kearse, Jason Taylor sort of like hybrid, J.J. Watt, super athletic dude coming off the edge that every team is petrified of?
But I thought the Okora brothers were supposed to be that those guys. AB, what happened to Okora brothers? You don't even hear their names.
Where, you know, APB? Where are they at? Where are they at?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, the Okora, when they picked him up a couple years ago, he did really well, and then he disappeared, and now he signed his contract, and his brother was a third round pick from Notre Dame. He was supposed to be a steal of the draft. He was hurt, and then he comes in. And where are these guys? I that's what I don't get. But it's good to see a left tackle. I'm glad to see it with Penny. And what kind of bums me out is when they drafted him, we all know he was drafted as a left tackle. He wasn't a right tackle. They had to put him at the right tackle spot. But I wish he would have spoke up and said, no, I don't want to play right tackle.
Why?
You know, sometimes it's because he knew in his mind he was saying the right thing in the media. But he knew in his mind he was a better left tackle. Now, why would you do that to yourself if you're a number seven pick? You know right tackle is going to be a struggle. Hey, I want to play left tackle. That's my position. And I'm glad this kind of happened, because you leave Decker in the left tackle. He's a good left tackle. You put Sewell at the right tackle, he might end up being just good. Now you might have an actual guy that could be a star at the left tackle position. And once you start getting more and more stars on the team, things really happen. You know, you take Aaron Rodgers off a Green Bay team, or you take a Nick Chubb off a Cleveland team, you know, you're going to have some issues. When you have real stars, they make the difference, AB. They really do, man.
I hear what you're saying, Freddie, but I don't want a guy that's coming in with his own personal agenda of I want to be this, I want to be that. Like, what do you need from me, and how can I contribute? I think that when we look at, like, today's NBA game, for example, I like using the NBA because I think that it's very much a star-driven league, and our Detroit teams have really, you know, they've been like the antichrist of that. And I'm not saying that we haven't had stars, because we have. We have Hall of Fame caliber guards in Joe Dumars, Chauncey Billups, Isaiah Thomas, right? And we've had players like the bad boy Rick Mahorn, Dennis Rodman, Vinny the Microwave Johnson, Bill Laimbeer, the Wallace brothers, Tayshaun Rip. But all those guys bought into this team idea that if we have team success, individual success will come. So I don't want a rookie coming in who hasn't done diddly squat, to be honest with you, and saying, oh, I'm going to be the left tackle, I'm the guy, when you got a Pro Bowler that's sitting there like, no, I mean, they just paid me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want somebody coming in with a personal agenda.
The last time I remember a player ever doing that was Brandon Inge when Pudge came to town, saying, I'm a better catcher than Pudge Rodriguez.
Okay, well, Brandon Inge wasn't drafted seventh overall in the NFL draft. I mean, he was, you know, he actually made the 2003 team because they stunk. I mean, they had no other choice. But, I mean, no, you're right. I mean, I get what you're saying. You want team guys. But Mahorn wasn't a star. Mahorn was a good player on a great team.
Yeah,
you want guys to stand up and say, "Listen, I'm great. I want to play in my position because I'm going to be great there." So, anyways, however it happened, Decker got hurt. He hurt his little finger, whatever he
Fate.
Did. Maybe he tripped on stairs like the tight end.
You can't discredit a finger injury to a guy that's got to put his hands on somebody for four quarters, Freddie. Like, it's a
please put a club around that thing. Did you see those?
You
guys
can't put a club on an offensive lineman. How are you going to do that? Once you get blocked with the forearm, guys are holding on every play. You have to be able to have your fingers. Have you ever broke your hand before? You ever broke a finger?
Go turn on YouTube. You ever make a pizza with a broken hand? Go turn on YouTube tonight. Put in the Pittsburgh Steelers, 17. And just watch those guys with those big clubs on their hands, smacking those guys in the helmet.
Yeah.
I know now you'll get a penalty. Anyways, I'm really happy to see Penny Sewell doing well. I'm glad to see we might have an actual All-Pro star here in the making. It's kind of fun to see with the Lions, because you don't get that often here. So that's all I wanted to say. So Freddie, I don't want to be negative.
No, you were great, and I really think that you're. I think you're right. I think Penei Sewell is going to be that star, and it's weird kind of how fate worked itself out. He said the right things coming into this team, drafted 7th overall, and he and Taylor Decker was the left tackle, and he said, okay, then I'll play the right side, and it is what it is, and Decker's got a few years of experience on me, so, hey, I'll try to learn it over here, and fate just had other plans, and you pair him up with Ragnow and Jonah Jackson, who looks like a great selection there in the 3rd round, great value out of him. We haven't really had to discredit Hal Vitae or anything he's done. And God bless him. Like, that group is actually performing pretty well, Freddie. So I think that I think it's a definite bright spot here for this team, because Jared Goff in that first half, I mean, my goodness, that guy, he was eating sandwiches back there. It was awesome to watch. Great, great block.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And the more all pros you get versus guys that are just safe picks and okay, you're going to actually build something here. So it was kind of nice to see Goff and Cephas look like Stafford and Kupp yesterday. It was kind of fun yesterday. So it was it was interesting. So have a good day, guys.
You too, Freddie. Happy Tuesday, my man. Yeah, I'd say there were some definite bright spots. I mean, T.J. Hockens is a wonderful selection. Like, T.J. Hockenson is everything that you wanted Eric Ebron to be. Team first guy, blocks. Wow, that's crazy you're playing this. I was just about ready to text you. That's crazy. Because it is, folks. It's Tuesday. Lions, in the words of the holy and wise Ryan Elke, in a very Pistons-esque kind of loss last night. Going out there competing for the first half. Lost in crunch time. Crunch time being the final two quarters of the game. But you had a lead at halftime on the road at Lambeau. You know, you can see there's some definite bright spots. Offensive and defensive line. They're going to need some help in the secondary. They're going to need some help on the perimeter. But I think that's what this team is really looking at. You know, I think this team is looking at a long sort of rebuild. And I tried to tell our boy Huge. He didn't want to listen. But I tried to tell him, look at you now, huh? Little Tony Montana for him. For Ryan Elke and Danica Halen, I'm Anthony Bellino. That was a lot of Lions today, but we had a lot of fun. Big thanks to John Wagner. Big thanks to the coach, Kyle Barlow, for calling in this morning, 7:35, bright and early. Great to have them be contributors to the show. And thank you to the listeners, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may have been listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. Don't forget, Tigers schedule change, 1:10 first pitch today. Valley Sports Detroit on the Tigers Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, from 6 to 9, right here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.